You're listening to Trope or Not to Trope, where your hosts, Kelly,
Kristen,
and Ray.
Hello, and welcome to our astrology mini-series, where we look at a character trait associated with a given star sign, Pisces in this instance, and discuss the nuances of that trait as it appears in fictional characters. So, as a disclaimer, we're not talking about characters that are canonically Pisces, nor are we trying to imply that any of the characters talked about today are Pisces in every way. Astrology is already very subjective, so we're just going to focus on a single trait. Okay. Pisces, Latin for fishes, is a sign associated with being flexible, compassionate, and artistic. Pisces are very much in tune with their emotions and are empathetic enough to connect and understand others and their passions, making them one of the more sensitive signs, which is perfect as today we'll be talking about sensitive or emotional characters. Mm-hmm. So, all right, you two, how would you define a, quote, sensitive character? What do we mean when we say this?
My first thought is, do they cry often?
Oh.
Like, relative to the other character. Like, that would be the first thing that would make me say a character is like, oh, they're so sensitive. Like, meaning, basically, they're too sensitive. It's like, if they're overreacting and crying about everything.
Like, outwardly.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my first thought is always, like, the moody, broody, sad boy. Like, I think there are, like, two flavors of sensitive character that at least immediately come to mind. There's, like, the internal sensitive to my own feelings, sensitive to things other people say to me, like that sensitive. And then there's like the sensitive empathetic where you're like, you have the bleeding heart. Like I feel for everyone. Like, and those, they never overlap. Like those are not the same type of person. They're two very separate kinds of people.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I feel like my first instinct would be to, I don't know. I think of the more outwardly emotional or sensitive, kind of like what Ray was saying.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this says something about myself as well, but then, yeah, I did start thinking about like, oh yes, moody, broody, sad boy. And, and it's weird how different they are.
Yeah. There are people who are on about like they're sensitive to their own emotions. And then there are people who are sensitive to other people's emotions.
Yeah.
The like the selfishness aspect is fascinating.
Yeah.
And sensitive can run a very wide spectrum.
Yeah. Talking in like Enneagram terms, that feels like a difference between like a 2 and a 4. Like the 2 wants
or
to
a
like
9
take
and a 4.
Or yeah. Yeah, 9 is okay. Yeah. But like 4s are very like focused on their own emotions and other people are more tuned into other people's emotions.
Which both characters are fantastic.
Yes, of course. Oh, yeah. So, speaking of characters, what characters come to mind when you think emotional or sensitive?
So many anime and cartoon characters. Like, that's usually where the humor comes from, is that the characters have exaggerated emotional responses to literally anything that's going on.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the way you teach children too, or like the way animated movies teach children is like they exaggerate the emotions so that kids can recognize it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My first thought was Sailor Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Like for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I went the other way and thought like Victor Frankenstein.
Yes. Good.
Very, very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Jess from Gilmore Girls also came to mind. Phantom of the Opera. Like,
yes.
They're very in tune with their own feelings and very sensitive to anything anyone says to them.
Moaning Myrtle in Harry Potter.
Of course,
Of course.
Another character type that came to mind was like basically anyone in a contemporary story, like contemporary romance story, because you get that drama from the main character being like, oh my gosh, he said something mean to me, I'm gonna hate him for the rest of my life, or oh my gosh, I lost my job, my life is ending, like
and
you know, like some of those responses are warranted, usually not to the degree that the book takes it, and so you get these overly sensitive characters for the sake of driving conflict in a yes. low stakes, low conflict book.
Rom-com in a nutshell.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, also Howl from Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, yes.
Which is lovely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Going to Howl, like, he manages to be both sensitive to himself and sensitive to other people, which is not something you see a lot. Like, he's more sensitive to himself, but
right.
At least he has, like, aspects of empathy, and that's interesting, because I could not think of a single character that embodied both.
Well, you see, he doesn't do them both at the same time.
Right, yes.
So he's either on about his own drama, or there are times where, like, he's basically okay, so he can, like, look around and be like, oh, like, taking care of other people, because he himself is fine in that moment.
Yeah.
Does that make him an unrealistic character, or do we think that can work in other characters?
I don't think it's unrealistic, basically because it has that switch. Like, to me, that that's has, like, that mechanism there, where it's like, I mean, that seems relatable, where it's like, oh, you're so on about your own stuff that you can't focus on anyone else. Meanwhile, like, when you have things together, you're just sort of like, you have capacity to help other people.
Right. I think that makes
sense. Like, as long as there's a priority list.
Exactly.
The things that I care about, in or.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Seems like a very Howl thing to do. Yes.
Yes.
Any other characters anyone wants to mention?
Lydia Bennet in Pride and Prejudice.
Mm. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. She's the one that's very on about her own stuff.
Yeah. She has main character energy for not being a main character.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe because she would want to be the main character.
Mm-hmm. Probably, she is definitely the main character for her own story.
Yeah, yes. That's true. Okay, I kind of want to talk about, like, since we've specified the different types of sensitive, I kind of want to talk about Katara in Avatar The Last Airbender, because I thought of her as an example, but then I was like, but she doesn't, like, first of all, she's not usually the first type of sensitive. She, like, there are things that do, like, make her mad and do get in under her skin, but more of the time she seems sensitive to other people's emotions. So she's more like the externally focused kind of sensitive. What are your thoughts, Kristen? It sounds like you might disagree.
You're like, no.
It's like, it's been a hot minute since I've seen the series, but, like, she always kind of just struck me more as a child, or, like, as a tween. So, like, sometimes she's very mad about her own thing. Sometimes she's very mad about other people's things. Sometimes she's not mad about something when she should be. Like, it's just kind of learning how to emote.
That's true. And all the characters are kind of in that area.
Yeah, like, Zuko felt more sensitive to me because he has those strong, moody, broody, sad boy vibes.
But I could, like, I do still kind of agree, though, because I feel like when Katara does get older, when she's an actual adult, she's still empathetic, she's still caring. And I feel like for at least, you know, maybe one of those types, I feel like it would make sense, because it's like, oh, well, they're feeling so much. And I feel like Katara, I mean, at least in my mind, I feel like I could see her being much more understanding, trying to, like, put herself in other people's shoes and emotionally connect with others. Like, she's very much, I would call her, like, emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So is that something different than being sensitive, though, I guess, is my question.
Right.
I would say yes. Like, I want to compare that to the plant girl from Sky High. I think her name is Layla. Because she, like, was very sensitive specifically to, like, Will needs because she had a crush on him. And so she would like put herself second and like just kind of focus all of her energy on like channeling his emotions. And that is obviously not healthy and like feels more sensitive to me, whereas Katara felt more just emotionally intelligent and able to be empathetic when she needed to be. I could be misremembering these things, fair like disclaimer, but I think
it feels right.
Sensitive tends to be more unhealthy, and you have to learn to draw different boundaries. Like Katara learned to be empathetic, like she had that inclination from the beginning, but like she learned when to be empathetic, like when to help people, when to be mad about her own things, whereas sensitive people have to learn to draw boundaries and be less empathetic almost.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sort of a nerd detail that like I know what is meant by, I think I know what is meant by when we're using sensitive in this context, but there's also the meaning of sensitive, which just means like more able to discern information. So like if you have like an instrument, like if you're measuring like temperature or something like that, it's like, okay, if this device is more sensitive, then that means you get a more accurate reading of the temperature. But that, so like you can be sensitive in the sense that there's someone who gets a more accurate reading of like the emotional climate of a situation, or you can be sensitive in like, I think the way we usually mean it is that someone is more reactive or has like less of those boundaries, like you were mentioning, where they're responding to all of like any emotions that they are having or the emotions that are in their area. And it's different than simply sensing them. And I kind of hate that these like that there is a difference there.
Yes. Although I think there is some overlap, because if you're more like, if you're more sensitive to the emotional climate, like unless you turn that off and start using it in a supervillain way, like you're gonna feel more for these other people, and you still have to learn to draw those boundaries of like, okay, I'm not going to care about this problem. This is not my problem, not my circus, not my monkeys. Like, which granted, by that definition, wouldn't Sherlock also be counted as sensitive?
Not you see, this is why it breaks down. And then there's also the question of what you're paying attention to, right? Because like, yes, Sherlock can be a very like astute and caring person. However, that's not what he's focused on most of the time. So he just tramples all over other people's feelings because they're not important to him in that
way. Yeah, that is true. For the sake of this episode, I think we're talking about like emotionally sensitive.
Yeah.
In either capacity, but like...
But like not simply like as not sensitive as in information gathering.
Yes.
Right.
We have other episodes about that.
Yes, we do. Okay. So oftentimes characters who are described as sensitive can fall into remaining quiet and distance from others, choosing alone time so that they don't have to feel everything all at once. Other times, sensitive characters are much more outgoing, bubbly, and friendly. So, what does a sensitive character look like if they're reserved compared to if they're outgoing?
The outgoing ones are so interesting. Going back to what Ray said about how, like, sensitive characters cry, like, I feel like the outgoing ones cry more, almost, or, like, cry more quickly.
In where public, you have, like, where people can see them.
Yeah, like someone says the wrong thing while they're at the mall and they just immediately burst into tears, whereas like a more introverted one would wait till they get home to cry.
And write poetry about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like you don't always know that the reserved character is sensitive. Like if they're so reserved that you can't tell how much a situation is affecting them or not, you have to have some kind of mechanism that tells you that that character cares. And like that's, you can do that pretty easily if it's first person and they're in, you're in that character's head, like then you get like the full information. But if you are like not in that character's head, like either this is a visual medium, like you're in a movie, or just like in a different character's first person or third person that's not very close. Like you have to have other things that happen that alert the audience to the fact that, oh, that quiet character, they care and this is affecting them deeply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you have to push them to their breaking point.
So they make them express something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the outgoing, for that reason, the outgoing sensitive character is so much easier to play for humor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And to play as a stock character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think one of the common ways that the reserved character is played, like the sensitive reserved character is played, is that they are sensitive about one thing in particular. So that's the thing that they react to. Mm-hmm. So, you have...
Especially the side.
Uh-huh. They're, like, mm-hmm. stoic all the time, but they have a soft spot for kittens. Like, something like
yes.
that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's usually, like, animals or art or something. Uh-huh. Where it's very much...
Yeah.
Let me feel for something that is not human. Something else.
Or sometimes they have, like, a cinnamon roll character that they're that they care about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are you guys' opinions on, like, the sensitive characters who are more fighty than crying? Ooh. You know, because that's one way it can go.
Oh, the ones like, that, like, lash out instead of break down.
Yeah, they were a sensitive child, and so, like, as, once they become a teenager or an adult, like, they just punch people instead of crying.
Your anger management characters.
Yeah. those are always interesting, but that is another way sensitive can come to the forefront.
Yeah, that or like starting stuff, like without their fists, just like through words.
Yeah.
Someone has like really upset them, they will like let everyone know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, those are great for like, those are great for humor. Those are great for like exaggerated plots, things like that. Like, I feel like I see that a lot in cartoons. Like, I mentioned that a lot of cartoon characters are very reactive, and that's one of the ways that it goes is, like, it's very easy to represent, like, oh, this character is mad, and it's, like, suddenly they're, like, 10 feet tall, and their face is red, and, like, just all of the visual.
And there's always one character there that, like, tries to rile that sensitive character up all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's see how many times we can get this person to like cry or yell or like shout or whatever.
Yeah. See, I was thinking more like Karate Kid. Like, I feel like both Johnny and Daniel are sensitive characters and they both kind of go about it in like a fighty, punchy way.
Yeah.
I'm going to fight my feelings.
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting arc with sensitive characters is they've almost always developed some kind of coping mechanism for being sensitive, whether they're sensitive to themselves or other people, like they have some kind of coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. And then that is oftentimes what drives conflict is either them learning to manage that or developing a coping mechanism or like developing better ones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if we're gonna, I don't know if I'm going to get on the feminist soapbox, but like I definitely see it placed next to me. So when you have sensitive characters, like we just described, like the fighty sensitive character, those are usually boys.
Yes.
Like they are sometimes girls too, but they're usually boys. And like I feel like that's because they were a kid that cried a lot, but that's like not allowed. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't look weak, they have to be tough, so they fight like with their emotions. That's sort of like that's the only emotion that they're allowed to have.
Yep.
Meanwhile, right next to that you have like the girl characters that cry, and they frequently grow up to be like, you know, girl characters that still like cry, and it just feels different because they're also not allowed to be angry, like because then like you get being angry as well. Meanwhile, if you're just crying, it's like, oh, well, you're a sensitive girl. So it still gets written off, but like it's not punished in quite the same way. And sometimes, okay, so something that annoys me so much, the type of sensitive character that annoys me so much is basically the one that's crying all the time for, like, silly. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they shouldn't be. And the other characters all, like, enable it. Like, I'm not saying they should be mean to this person, but I'm sitting here like, that person is overreacting. Like, we don't, like, I don't, this is why they keep, like, this is why they keep crying and things like that, is because no one is actually, like, helping them work through their emotions. They're literally just sort of tiptoeing around them and facilitating, like, this character continuing to be overly sensitive. And it drives me nuts because it's usually, like, the character is usually annoying. To be fair, it could be a boy or a girl. Like, usually if it's a boy, it's, like, a young boy, but, like, they're both annoying. And it's, like, a pet peeve of mine when, like, a story doesn't have, like, doesn't have a real plot or, like, feels like they need to, like, fill space, so they just have... They're just gonna go on about, like, the sensitive character being upset about things.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I've seen that used to cover slow points in plots a lot, and it's annoying.
Yeah, I feel like it depends on frequency. Like, if it's every so often, and, like, there's a character that is emotional outwardly, like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, okay, I think of Sailor Moon, and it's been a while since I've rewatched the series, but I feel like in the first season, so everyone calls her, like, a crybaby and everything, and she's very emotional, very, like, outwardly emotional and everything. And so I feel like the frequency in which she cries and she is, like, outwardly expressive is, it happens much more in, like, the beginning versus near the end. And I mean, she's a 14-year-old girl. So, like, I feel like any kind of early adolescent should, you know, they're feeling so many things. But as she goes, she still keeps that, like, she's still able to, like, cry and express herself, and in such powerful ways. Like, that me being, like, a tween girl, a teen girl watching Sailor Moon, reading Sailor Moon, and seeing, like, one of the most powerful people in the universe crying because her friends just, like, all got massacred, or, like, crying because, and then also, like, crying because, like, she failed a test. Like, there are different types, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it is still important and still, like, I mean, so many people feel like Sailor Moon is annoying. But on the other hand, there are, like, so many people who are like, thank you for having an emotional character, you know, be represented and be, and again, like, the frequency in which she was, like, crying lessened over the course of the season. At least that's how I remember it. And I feel like I became more of, like, like, I'm embracing my feelings, and, like, it's okay to cry. And I feel like, I don't know, I wish that was more widely represented in, like, male protagonists, but society does not feel like it is okay for men to cry, which is BS. Because crying feels great.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know, like, I'll point to, it's been a long time since I've seen any Sailor Moon, and I don't think I've seen nearly as much as you have, but I don't remember having a problem with Sailor Moon's crying, because, like, sometimes it is, like, her friends just got massacred, and it's like, so, more of where my annoyance comes with it is sort of, like, the spoiled child kind of problem, if there is someone who's, like, crying all the time, but the narrative isn't treating this person like they are spoiled. The narrative is treating it like it's just not handling it very well. It's
legitimizing it.
Like, legitimizing it, or, like, the other characters aren't, like, responding in helpful ways to it. Like, there are so many things where it's like, oh, they're just trying, like, they just give the character sort of whatever they want, or something like that. And, like, little did you know, you just enforced this. You, like, gave this character a superpower, actually, because all I have to do is cry and all the other characters will, like, hop to. things like that. But they don't usually treat it that way because the character is also usually, I don't know, some kind of like cinnamon roll or something like that. Not like the cinnamon roll that like you actually like, but like other characters feel like this is sort of like a complicated circular thing. I don't remember having any problems with Sailor Moon. More of my problems are like with, like, it's kind of a stock side character in a lot of anime is like there's the character who's like always upset about things, and some of them it's a case of like, do you do the trope well? Because like I understand that type of character, and some have like, some do it pretty well because like you understand what they're upset about. It's like, oh, this person cares a lot about like this competition or this kind of thing, so like they're super reactive about it, and like they just want, they want to take care of the other characters so badly, and it like freaks them out every time like things like every time they feel like they've messed up or like whatever else. And like I feel for that, but there are some shows that don't know what they're doing with their sensitive characters, so they just have them freaking out all the time for no reason. And it's like, that's not fun in and of itself. You need to have some kind of reason.
I think when that's done, though, it's like the creators trying to play upon humor. And I think that's why, like, Sailor Moon would cry, like, in the very beginning, would cry during certain things, like, random things like, oh, my cookie's burned, I'm crying. And like, I think part of that was, again, just, oh, this is humorous, this is funny. But sometimes it does not hit. And I totally, like, when you were describing all this, I'm like, oh, yes, I have a few characters where this character's a brat. And like, these other characters just keep giving this brat whatever they want. And it's supposed to be, well, they're cute. No, I don't care. This person is mean to other kids.
They're mean. They're causing all of these problems. They're annoying. Like, why are we letting this be a thing?
Yeah, that's different.
You do raise an interesting point, though, because most of the sensitive characters I can think of, like, aren't ever helped in the narrative. Like, not saying that, like, being sensitive is something that needs to be helped, but a lot of these characters are, like, they either overreact to something or they like don't have quite a clear view of reality, and like they're either, like you said, they're given everything they want, or they're just like completely mocked for it, or like people leave them alone and then they end up in their own head and like spiraling. And I think we need more, I don't want to say like therapy sessions in fiction, but like we need more healthy, like, character arcs.
No, I feel like I want more stories that take sensitivity seriously, if that makes sense. Because like, okay, I'm fine with a bunch of the ones where it's basically a joke, like they're hyper reactive and they're overreacting to what's going on, and it's funny. There are a bunch of cases where that's true, but there are so many other cases where it's like, okay, this person cries and then the other person does whatever that character wants, or it's like this person cries and the other characters try and like distract them from it. And like, personally, like I find that kind of insulting because sometimes that character's feelings are merited. Like, can you like be a good friend and help them work through, like just be there for them with what they're feeling instead of trying to like just brush it aside? And like, what doing, like, and like, I feel like I do want more, like, stories where it's, like, the maybe one of the main characters is sensitive and maybe learns how to draw healthy boundaries. Like, if you can have, like, positive arcs like that, like, that'd be awesome.
Oh, but I will say there is definitely room for, like, okay, sensitive characters who are, like, crying or upset. And then there's another character that, like, does not know what to do but tries their best. Zuko. Like, that's rough, buddy.
Yeah. I'm for like that trying. Too. Yeah. Like the other person is trying. Like you get points for effort.
Yes.
Sometimes certain characters or arcs just aren't taken seriously by the narrative, and it bothers me because it's as if the narrative is saying this person's feelings don't actually matter.
Yeah.
Or they're taken too seriously, which is its own kind of problem.
Gosh, you just can't win with this one.
You can't, like, I feel like we need more narratives that reflect, like, that one Tumblr meme that was going around that like all emotions are valid. All actions responding to emotions, not valid. You know?
Not necessarily, like, yeah.
And mm-hmm. so we need more narratives that just kind of play with that. And like, yes, mm-hmm. what you're feeling is valid. The way you're reacting to it, not so much. Let's find something healthier.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Although coming back to the like whole more sensitive men thing, I was thinking about the Queen's Gambit, where mm-hmm. Beth is not at all sensitive to anything or anyone. Uh-huh. And then you have just like series of men in her life who are all different brands of sensitive that teach her things. And it's really? Fascinating. Yeah.
Okay. Wait,
have you not watched this, Kelly?
No, I Kelly. Still need to watch. I know. Okay, I have so Netflix good. Right now. Chris and I right. are like jumping back and forth. So maybe between Great British Bake Off, I will.
Yes. It's not okay. that long. You need to watch it.
Okay. This is, yeah, this sounds fascinating.
Yeah. It's so that, like, that does a good job of turning this on its head, at least in terms of gender.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Cool.
I feel like the ways in which men and women are sensitive is frequently different. Like, they tend to express it in different ways. Like, I think. In general, guys don't cry as much.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I feel like it's really hard to say because society like continues uh-huh. to bombard yeah. us yeah. with gender yeah. stereotypes that it's yeah. such a...
Yeah. I honestly, I hate crying. It's horrible.
It's I love crying.
I don't recommend
really?
It.
Really?
Oh. Yes. I mean, not no. in front of people of that 10. I don't know, but like, I feel so much better because of the oh endorphins. God, no. It's just,
okay.
Let I just it end out. Up with a headache.
Puffy eyes. Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like at the end of it, I'm still sad. I just have a headache now too.
Yeah. I've had that. I've had, oh gosh. I've had the experiences where people try and tell me, like, not to cry as much. Like, especially when I was, like, a little kid, it was sort of like, mm-hmm. like, I would get essentially, like, scolded and things like that for crying, and people would tell me not to. And I'm just sort of sitting here like, thanks, I wasn't trying to. If anyone right. has any helpful advice on how to not do this, I would gladly take it, you know, like that sort of thing.
Oh, just, my gosh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I tend to involuntarily cry at things, which is super mm-hmm. annoying. And
it so is.
There was like, and you can kind of get it under control, but like there was once I was at the airport and I had finally gotten it under control and this girl uh-huh. turns around, she's like, are you okay?
And oh, I no.
and, like, and that cool. just makes you cry immediately.
Yeah.
Yes. Or is anything wrong? No, yeah. don't ask uh-huh. me that.
Please don't ask me.
Uh-huh. Don't talk to me. Say mean things.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Ask me about my taxes.
Yes. Or just like just be on about something else. It's like, what are we doing yes. right now? Okay, like you know, just mm-hmm. let's get whatever the task is done.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. All right. So okay, so sensitive characters are the ones that don't wish to hear bad news, might need to adjust when hearing criticism or pick up on others' emotional states, consequently affecting them in their own life. These characters are sometimes pushed, either by other characters or through challenges faced in the plot, to change, to shun their sensitive sides. So when this usually happens, these characters see their sensitive or emotional states as weaknesses. But as we've discussed in previous episodes, perceived weaknesses are very often strengths. When being sensitive is seen as a strength and used in narrative as a strength, we get to see the character truly shine. But without balance and just as easily, emotional characters can sometimes tear a group apart, even, or the sensitive character apart, if the character is unable to control their emotions. So how do emotional characters usually work in an ensemble cast or around other characters?
Like I mentioned earlier, they're used as plot filler. Like, yes, if yeah. you reach a point where, like, the characters are traveling somewhere, if you have a few days that, like, nothing is happening, you get the emotional character on about something, and then they're just, they're plot conflict filler, and it's super annoying when that happens.
Yeah. Mm.
Also, it depends on whether they're the main character or a side character.
That's true.
Yeah.
I feel like the main characters are the ones where their feelings are usually taken a little too seriously as well. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's like,
yes,
it feels like the narrative is trying to make an arc out of that. And meanwhile, everyone else is sitting here like, no, you need.
Okay. sensitive main characters who are not at all self-aware.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah.
I see this so much in romance books where you have this character who's sensitive about something and, like, they have no self-awareness that they're overreacting and, like, either people give in to them or they, like, kind of mock them for it, but then they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was mocked for this, and, like, the narrative takes them seriously.
Yeah, and there aren't, like, other consequences for it, really. Mm-hmm. Like, everything turns out fine for them.
And, like, sometimes it even works in their favor, and I'm like, no.
Yeah. Again, going back to Ray's point about, like, rewarding bad behavior, like, please stop reinforcing this.
No, like, the direction my brain immediately went with this is, maybe this is kind of niche, but I immediately thought of, like, everyone complaining about the character Caillou in that kids show. Caillou.
Oh my like, god! Everyone
hates that character so much because he's this little crybaby, and the adults all like take him seriously. And it's like, no, that kid needs to like suck it up and learn some. Like, he's just such a brat, and he whines all the time. And I haven't even seen that much of the show. I just remember like people vehemently hate
the character. Yeah, but. That is how I feel about certain romance leads.
Caillou, like.
And then you get, like, these love interests who are like, oh my gosh, you poor baby, how can I help you? And I'm like, ew.
No.
Which, like, absolutely, yes, sensitive men helping women. Like, yes, this is good. Uh-huh. But yeah.
I think this sometimes comes up with this doesn't happen very often anymore, but there were a few cartoons in the 80s. I feel like this comes up a few times where the sensitive character was like the one female character in the group.
She always
like fell into trouble and was always complaining and like crying about.
It's so
and
bad.
Again, mm-hmm. cool to cry. Again, I'm a crier. Uh-huh. I understand. But like, but in a way where, you know, she was a spoiled. Usually she was a princess and she was spoiled
and dumb. And the
boys were all like, they would just be like, of course, whatever you want, princess, just don't cry anymore. And
oh my gosh.
That doesn't, it's not as apparent anymore. However, it again, like just echoing what everyone else has said, it's not good.
It is. It's also paired with incompetence so often.
Yeah.
Like, give me competent, sensitive characters.
Ooh. Oh, actually, okay, initially that's where my mind went when I thought ensemble cast or like around other people is you think I'm gonna bring up a heist. So in heist.
Bingo card.
I know. In heist, there are a bunch of competent, like, very highly skilled characters. Mm-hmm. And there's usually at least one, sometimes more, like, very emotional or, like, an emotional or sensitive character that is also emotionally intelligent. And so they are the ones who go out, are able to, like, read people and then, you know, con people, whatever. Like, they're using it for... good, bad, I mean, morally gray. It's a heist. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter.
It's a heist.
Yeah. But also, I've seen this in like fantasy ensemble casts where there is a sensitive character around morally gray characters that are like very just informationally focused and aren't as kind of like with Sherlock and Watson, where that emotionally sensitive character has to basically be like, wait, you're not seeing the right angle. Like, here, let me show you the light. This is what people feel. And they're like, feelings, what's that? And it's like such a cool moment. And they usually, sometimes I feel like those characters also are kind of the glue to that group, where it's like, okay, everyone is moving in different directions. They've had conflict with each other. And this character's like, no, we need to do this for X, Y, Z. And it's the power of feelings help.
Yeah. Yeah, this is where you get your power of friendship.
Like, I was immediately thinking of all of the, like, magical girl anime. Because, like, usually almost all of the characters in, like, a magical girl anime or, like, just cartoon, like, they're all some version of sensitive character. There's usually, like, one or two that are, like, you know, the more, like, serious or, like, you know, the technical one or something like that. But they're all some version of sensitive, and there's some version of, like, attuned to each other or, like, attuned to their own emotions or just, and they go about it in different ways. Gosh, like, some of those are really good. Like, I'm thinking of Madoka Magica, which of course I am, but, like, you know, main character, she's sensitive. She cares about her friends. She cares about, like, wanting to help people, basically. And, like, there's another character who doesn't appear to be sensitive. Like, Homura doesn't really seem sensitive. She seems cold and detached and maybe a bad guy, something like that. But when you learn her story, you learn, like, she was also, like, you know, another sensitive person, and she has just been through so much that this is what she is now. And it's just great. Like, it's the entire cast is all, like, people who cared about something or someone, and, like, how they, like, either continue to do that or how they struggle with that or how they were burned by that. And it's just, Madoka Magica is a pretty good show. Like, season one, haven't seen beyond that, but it's good.
Interesting. That concept of having, like, all sensitive characters is fascinating.
Yeah, but it somehow works.
Yeah. It's because they're different kinds of sensitive. Or they've had different experiences with being sensitive. So, like, a bunch of them aren't sensitive anymore, or they're sensitive to only particular things. That's part of how it works, and you have, like, actual differentiation between them, and they're not just the same thing over and over.
I feel like that necessitates different plots. Like, this might be obvious, but it's, like, if you have all sensitive characters, like, that is going to have, by necessity, different plots than, like, a sensitive and a not sensitive character, or, like, all not sensitive characters. Like, you can't mix and match those. Like, you can't be like, oh, I like this plot and these characters, because sometimes they just don't work together.
Yeah. I feel like more often with, if you have a lot of sensitive characters, the drama turns inward, and it's about the dynamics between them more so than it is about external things.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times with magical girl, or at least how they used to be, magical girl stories, a lot of it is, it's almost like they're teaching you life lessons, and each girl gets featured with a different problem.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So then you focus on, like, well, that issue that came up because of, you know, this girl's specific needs or specific challenges. Like, they just focus it differently.
Like, this one's the tough one, and she's having trouble getting a date for prom. And this one is the weird one, and she's having trouble with other people, like, being mean to her, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I feel like that's where your, like, teen movies and sitcoms live, too.
Yes. Yeah. Very true.
Also, just going back to ensemble casts in general, I was thinking about Star Trek, The Next Generation, how they have the one character who's, like, I don't know if they call her an empath, but, like, she's essentially, like, super into people's feelings, and she's, like, the ship's doctor, therapist type person. It's been a minute since I've seen it, but, like, that's another way it can easily, a sensitive character can easily fit into an ensemble cast.
Yes. Yeah, there are just so many ways to be sensitive.
Yeah.
Okay, so we touched on this a little bit, but I did want to ask the question, what are the perks and challenges about having a sensitive character as the protagonist?
they get annoying quickly if you yes, write them wrong. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It can also, depending on the type of sensitive they are, like if they're the sensitive to other people types, it can take focus away from your plot and away from your main character, and you have to be really careful about going down rabbit trails of them being on about other people's problems.
Yeah. Mm. Keep them focused.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if they're the kind that's super reactive, like if you do that right, you can use that for more plot movement. Like it's similar to being an impulsive character where like, oh, anytime anything happens, they respond to it. However, you can also use that in a negative kind of way where all they do is react to things, but they don't drive anything forward. All you have is them expressing a lot of emotions in anything that happens.
I hate those stories.
Oh, gosh.
I hate them so much. Oh, they don't move. They just go run in circles.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I feel like when they do work and they, like, let's say they can also move the plot in a quieter fashion. Like, if a character is sensitive and they're in tune with their emotions and maybe another, like, their one-on-ones are usually pretty decent with another character. And that's, I usually enjoy those.
I feel like that works better when the sensitive character is the side character, though. So, like, you have your protagonist who's going about, like, their life and trying to process something. And then they have, like, a quiet movie moment with the sensitive character where they talk about their feelings and they sort some stuff out.
Mm. Oh, well, maybe I'm thinking more of, like, I don't know if this is relatable to everyone, but I feel like whenever there is a sensitive main character, and whether they are talking one-on-one with anyone else, they're usually, I love seeing that vulnerability. And so I can relate. And I think like having a character that is so open and emotionally aware is usually like, yeah, I feel those things too. And I think that can be magical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. These are going to lean a lot more to internal conflicts, like an interpersonal conflicts. Like, you're not going to have a fast-paced plot with a sensitive protagonist.
More drama. Yeah.
Which maybe that's what you want.
Yeah, it's not a bad story. Just you have to know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are the weaknesses of a sensitive character?
They're easily hurt.
And overwhelmed.
A weakness. Yeah. If you're
they're like, they can kind of be like dead zones in a book or film. Like they can just kind of suck all of the momentum out of a scene.
They slow things. Yeah, they tend to slow things.
Yeah, they
down
slow things down and they draw focus and they like distract. This is all, of course, write them poorly, but...
I mean, connecting back to what I just said, where it's like, that can be a good thing if you need, like, characters to process emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes your outwardly focused, sensitive character can be really good for that. But, if they're... They can, like, bring action to a standstill or a halt because, like... Maybe they're scared of something, or maybe they're like overwhelmed by something. So now, like, everything has to stop and deal with that character having an emotional experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really bad if you're trying to write a first draft and you're just like, this character just won't stop feeling. I just want to get to the plot. Uh-huh.
They can also, like, you end up spending a disproportionate amount of time on them because you can't really gloss past an emotional reaction to something unless you've already established that, like, that is how this book is going to go. But, like, because you end up with the problems that we were talking about earlier of, like, not treating it seriously enough. And so, like, if everyone's ignoring your sensitive character, why do you have a sensitive character? Like, and you run into those kinds of problems.
Yeah, you end up with, like, it's kind of like, unless those are the questions that you want the work to be dealing with, you kind of shouldn't have the sensitive character there. It's like, okay, is this about, like, whether the side character or the main character, it's something about, like, okay, how are you going to handle these emotions? How are you going to get past them? Like, what's the, like, is there an arc there? Is there movement there? Are the characters mistreating each other and that's going to, like, come back to bite them? Are they working on, like, a more healthy way to deal with this? But if you don't want to deal with those questions, having a character around that is sensitive, it kind of means, like, they probably shouldn't be present, because otherwise you're just going to neglect them because they're not relevant to your current plot points.
Yes. Mm. Don't use them as magic keys.
Oh,
when they're, like, ignored for the entire story, and then, like, at the climax they suddenly have the answer because they're the sensitive one that's been paying attention.
Unless
you can't do that.
But like a Care Bears movie, it makes sense.
Oh gosh.
No.
Right?
You still need, like, balanced character development. You need to set things up. You need to foreshadow. Yeah.
Of course. Yes, I agree.
I kind of hate when narratives do this kind of doublespeak kind of thing, where it's like the narrative will go on about how this character is so cool and their, like, involvement is so valuable, and then that character proceeds to do nothing to help anything through the entire plot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not foreshadowing. That's just bad writing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what about the strengths?
They can be great for, like, morals and life lessons. Like, even aside from Ray, like you were saying, like, giving the characters time to reflect. Like, your Victor Frankenstein's, like, great for a moral life lesson for the reader. You're, like, Jess Mariano's from Gilmore Girls, great for a life lesson for Rory. Like, they're the bad boys who teach you things about yourself.
Yeah. And I don't know, weaknesses and strengths are real good when they're two sides of the same coin, right? So the sensitive character, you know, they care strongly. That's part of why they're sensitive. Like, whatever their sensitivity is based around, that's something that they're attuned to, that they care strongly about. And that translates to, like, motivation, or frequently it translates to competence in a particular area. So, like, the externally focused ones, it's like, if they're sensitive socially, then they may be better able to empathize with others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Depending on how you play it, they can also be great for moral ambiguity. Like, if you have a sensitive character like Zuko, who, like, is empathetic to both sides, essentially, like... And so you get your sensitive characters who are like, oh, but this villain has some points. And, oh, but this hero has some points.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, those are actually really great when you have, like, a character who, like, can empathize with both sides of a conflict. And it makes some sense. Like, it just creates so much tension and potential conflict, because you're sitting there waiting to figure out who they're going to side with and what they're going to do about it.
Especially if they've had history with the antagonist, where it's like, oh, he's my father, or, oh, like, I was a part of this group and now I'm not.
Mm.
But on the other hand, I also kind of hate it when you start a character on that path and then you set it up so that in the end they're going to get hurt no matter what.
Oh, like, that's
not a great way to go. So you have to balance that.
Yeah, that's fair. I also feel like another strength is a sensitive character. I mean, it depends on the sensitive character, but they're usually very in touch with something. Sight, sounds, taste, people, art, animals, whatever it is. So it's like that appreciation is really nice. Or at least, like, just dwelling. At least for me, there are moments where I feel like, oh, yeah, I can really, like, dwell in this feeling. I can really, like, appreciate the whimsy or the wonder or the sadness or just like steeping in whatever emotion the character's feeling. And that can be done poorly or done well, but if it's done well, I don't know, like I can connect.
Yeah, that makes sense. They can be very relatable depending on what they're sensitive about.
Oh yeah.
We haven't talked about the sensitive, weird artist, quirky mentor person. That's another thing this can do is like they're sensitive to people, but they're also sensitive to nature's vibes and like they're sensitive to psychic readings and like they just become this weird, quirky oracle. And I don't think you can play that character seriously. Like there are probably a few ways to do it, but that is a good character.
They usually tend to switch. Like you can have that character be serious in certain moments, but most of the time they're kind of silly and they're kind of a joke. And that's I've seen that played pretty well. And then that's the mechanism that happens is like, oh yeah, most of the time they're just this like silly, quirky person that no one listens to. And then there's an important moment where they actually like, you know, they have it. And it's because they have it right the whole time. It's just most of the time it doesn't matter that much. So they do what they want.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Or the character needs to learn how to listen to them.
Yes. Okay. So we've mentioned little things here and there, but how do you write a sensitive or emotional character well, and what are some things to avoid when writing this character?
Make them rational.
Yeah. Like at the center of that, I feel like, well, what are they sensitive to? Like, because they still have to make sense. And they can be overreactive, but it's like, okay, what is the thing that they care about? What is the thing that they're sensitive about?
Yeah. You can't just have a character that's like an overreacting machine and will overreact to anything at any time the plot needs it.
But at the same time, I really do hate when like some stories just completely are like, oh, this person is a completely different person now and they've learned to shut off their emotions. Like, no. We want you to embrace your emotions, but like, you know, there's balance in everything.
Yeah. Like my next like side of this is like once you have what they're sensitive to, then the thing you have to be careful with is like trying not to hit the same plot beats over and over again and have them play in the same way.
There especially has to be the theories.
Some kind of motion, some kind of development. Otherwise, it just gets repetitive and annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've mentioned this like a few times in a few ways, but like give them healthy arcs. Or like if you want to give them an unhealthy arc, make sure you hit that, but don't like accidentally give them an unhealthy arc.
Because
that's what I see most often is like they either don't get an arc or they have an accidental unhealthy arc or they have like this sudden character development where they no longer have feelings and you're like, what happened?
Yeah,
this person is like super emotional in an unhealthy way, but they get rewarded for it constantly and then everything like turns out happily ever after. It's like, why? No.
Or you have like the Eeyore grumpy bear thing, like where you have these like, it's usually in children's stories or something, or like teen stories, but you have this character who's like sensitive and grumpy and sad, and then their arc is becoming happy and you're like, that's not. You can keep them, you can keep a sensitive character sensitive, but you can like have arcs around that. You know, you don't have to change who someone fundamentally is.
No.
Yeah, I hate that.
Also, like we were saying, write more sensitive men, but in a way that makes sense, not just like a female fantasy sensitive man.
Oh my God.
Right. Yeah.
You know, with an 8-pack and flowing hair.
Oh my gosh. So glowing.
Glowing hair.
I also feel like, okay, going back to Ray's point about like, oh yeah, like, and we've said this before, but like strengths and weaknesses are kind of like two sides of the same coin. There's definitely room for you to write a story where, and you have to do this carefully, but a sensitive character that is overly sensitive and is like being like drastically overly sensitive to the point where, and this, I think in my mind, I'm thinking of like characters that like deeply care about others and like their feelings and also like what those characters think about them. Mm-hmm. But like having those emotions cause some kind of hurt or get the other people in trouble. So like mm-hmm. their actions have now affected their friends, yes. family, their loved ones, and then learning from that. So it's like a subtle shift of like, oh, it's perfectly fine to like feel mm-hmm. things, but
yeah.
sometimes those feelings hurt others. And mm-hmm. we did mention this before about how like it's perfectly valid to feel whatever, you know, you're feeling. Mm-hmm. However, what you do with that, you know, there's a spectrum here of like, mm-hmm. this is okay. This is not okay.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So showing yeah. that makes sense.
Like, I want more realizations, basically. Like, this is kind of in general, not just sensitive characters, but like, mm-hmm. if you can have arcs where your character is like on about their thing. It's like, okay, if they're sensitive and like they're overreacting all these things, and like if you can give me a moment where they kind of have a realization, like they have a perspective shift, like okay, mm-hmm. say they're like the internally focused sensitive and they're all about their own emotions, but then they see like their friend going through something and they kind of realize mm-hmm. like, oh, that person has emotions too, like that's great. You can have that development, and then they have like a different frame for viewing like their own stuff. It's like, oh, I'm going through things, other people are also going through things, like mm-hmm. and it doesn't fundamentally change them, because yeah, they're still going to experience their emotions just as strongly, but now they have like another thing that they can consider, and like they are better able to relate to other people. Like there's development, there's movement without fundamentally changing someone. Like that's called like a positive arc. Or, that's called an arc. Like
accurate. Mm.
Ooh, okay. This is a general tip, but for it also can relate obviously to sensitive characters. Dialogue. When you're writing dialogue, not only is it important for you to understand, you know, what the characters are actually saying, but what they're not saying. So mm-hmm. this is especially important with sensitive characters, because mm-hmm. especially the sensitive characters that are like deeply introspective and like deeply like worried about offending other people and like mm-hmm. what their feelings will do. Like, I feel like taking time to consider, well, what is something that they wouldn't say to others, but how can you convey that through action, through other means, through how the other characters yes. are responding. It's just something to just keep in mind in general, but also could relate.
That is a really good point, either for like main characters or side characters, because a sensitive character is very rarely going to be like, I'm hurt about this for this reason. And so like you have to think honestly probably more about their dialogue than some of the other characters, because you can like, they're not gonna say exactly why they might not even know exactly why they're upset, and so they're gonna speak around what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have other suggestions for writing sensitive side characters? Because I think a lot of what we said is like, don't. And so how can we one make that work?
Oh, well, I feel like with sensitive side characters, there is usually a pattern, though, of obviously having, well, for the outwardly emotional one, or I guess even those side characters that don't necessarily show their emotions, there's a pattern of like, well, they are, something bad happens and they're crying, or like something bad happens and they're moody or whatever. And so there's like this pattern there. Mm-hmm. But then if something happens that maybe, what am I trying to say? Like, if there's something that the main character should notice, like something wrong or something mm-hmm. that maybe the sensitive character is feeling and doesn't know quite how to express themselves, like maybe usually they're mm-hmm. bubbly and positive and like always like gleefully laughing. Wow, that sounds Interesting. But let's say like that's kind of like their pattern is they're very expressive and very like, wow, look at the world. And then like something happens. And so they're not doing that. I guess mirroring kind of like the dialogue suggestion of thinking about those characters and thinking about how they respond to challenges or how they respond to like shifts in, I don't know, whatever happens to them is also something to keep in mind, like a lot.
But it can be like, honestly, they can be good alarms, especially if most of the rest of your characters are not sensitive. And so like in kids media, especially, or just like if you're moving quickly, they can kind of serve as a, like, this is the emotional response. This is the accurate emotional response to this thing that none of the other characters are just having, but here it is.
It out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually find it kind of annoying, but like occasionally you do get like, you know, you're like, most of your plot is like the action sort of thing that we're all like super used to at this point, where it's like, oh, people are dying and bad things are happening, and there's usually like some like character who's like the stand-in for the normal person who is scared and horrified and like all of those things that like a normal person would actually be feeling in all of these situations. Most of the time I don't like it because it does like slow things down, and that character is usually more annoying than like relevant. But I think there are cases where it can happen, where it can work pretty well.
Be done well. Like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy does it well. Arthur Dent is a perfect everyman.
For them being side characters, I was also thinking of like with the reluctant father figure trope, usually your main character is the guy who's the reluctant father figure, and then there's a kid that he's trying to take care of, and the kid's a kid, so they're sensitive. Like, so you frequently have an interaction where, like, this guy, like, says something, and it upsets the kid, and then, like, he has to figure out, like, how to deal with that, and it usually, like, ends up with him, like, apologizing and trying to be like more diplomatic with the things that he says, things like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it's also okay when you have a sensitive character as a side character to give them one or two things that they're sensitive about, and that's it. Like, if you try to make them sensitive about everything or like have a complex inner life, you're not gonna see that if they're like truly a side character.
Yeah.
And so they'll just end up underdeveloped and kind of inconsistent and weird. And so give them one or two things, maybe three, that they consistently react to. And that will make them feel more real than if you gave them a complex inner life.
And that sounds manageable. That's a nice little tip.
And also, like, no one's sensitive full stop either. Okay, some people are, but like that's a certain kind of story. More often what you're dealing with is like, okay, this person is a character that's like this type of way, and then these are the things that they're sensitive about, and it fits with like the rest of their character and what they would care about and things like that. So it doesn't have to be, they don't have to constantly be reacting and slowing things down.
Yes, but like I think, Ray, you mentioned it earlier, like, find new ways to make them, new things for them to react to, so it's not just the same plot point over and over.
Yes.
But, like, taking it out of theoretical and putting it more practical, like, you can have a character who's just sensitive about their appearance and not anything else. They're confident in the rest of their life, very sensitive about their appearance, and that can be a thing that comes up. Or they can be, like, sensitive about their job or something, just to put it in more practical terms.
And I mean, the thing that you even see with those practical examples, it's like, okay, someone's sensitive about their appearance, something happens to their appearance, and they're like really uncomfortable. But like, if that thing just sort of continues, like they become kind of used to it. Like, of course, they're going to change it as soon as they can, if they can. But like, they're usually not, most people aren't constantly freaking out.
Yes. But like, I think, in that case, they'll develop new sensitivities around it, you know? So if you have like a vain character who suddenly becomes ugly, then they're going to be like very sensitive about their clothing or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you're going to have like them. Okay. The Phantom of the Opera wears a mask because he is sensitive about his about his looks. That's what we have here. And anytime, like if anyone takes the mask away, he's going to flip out. Because like, he's just full stop sensitive about that, but like,
yes,
he's still gonna go on the rest of his rampaging and taking over an opera house and kidnapping people and whatever else he does.
As one
and
does.
he knows that he can sing. He's also like very confident in that regard.
Not sensitive about that.
No.
Not even really sensitive about living at the opera house either. Like, sends angry notes like, hey, pay me. I'm here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But don't look at me.
But don't look at me.
That's,
Mm-hmm.
Also, through this entire episode, I've just had that bit from John Mulaney playing in my head where he's like, that's the thing I'm sensitive about. And just.
Same.
Yep.
You have feminine hips.
And that's our episode. So listeners, what do you think? How do you feel about our podcast? Send us an email at totropeornottotrope@gmail.com with your thoughts and feelings. We'll be back soon with another trope. Thanks for listening to Trope or Not to Trope, and happy writing.